Blog Talk Radio.
From the finest people, where is thy salute?
For presenting yourselves on this battlefield.
I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland.
And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Oh, the English are too many.
Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Killed men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arms. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Right. Against that?
No!
We will run!
And we will live.
Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your bed, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Everybody, Joseph Gift of Podcasting here worldwide, understanding the times in which we live today, and the times, obviously, there has to be a we celebrate Memorial Day, we celebrate the 4th of July, we got all these little holidays where we reflect back, and some of it, and most of us don't, but let me tell you something, what's happening out there right now is so very important that each and every single one of you should be dedicating every minute, every second of your time, no matter if it's your coworkers, whether or not you're in a grocery store standing in line, any idle time you have, you should be talking about the freedoms that we are losing and that the many that have sacrificed and given everything that they were about and were and whatever hope to be so that you can enjoy what you have here today.
Yeah.
guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us. We the people are the driver. The government is the car. And we decide where it should go and by what route and how fast. Almost all the world's constitutions are documents in which governments tell the people what their privileges are. Our constitution is a document in which we the people tell the government what it is allowed to do. We the people are free. And I hope we have once again reminded the people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
The odds are great. The odds are difficult. People have underestimated the number of people in this country that are interested in a freedom message. Just being free, free of the government suppression of us, whether it's on our personal liberties, our economic liberties, and they certainly like the foreign policy of non-intervention.
During the American Revolution, the active forces in the field against the king's tyranny never amounted to more than 3% of the colonists. They were in turn actively supported by perhaps 10% of the population. In addition to these revolutionaries were perhaps another 20% who favored their cause but did little to nothing to support it. Another one-third of the population sided with the king. By the end of the war, there were actually more Americans fighting for the king than there were in the field against him. And the final third, they took no side and blew with the wind and took what came. Our God-given name.
everybody. Joseph Gibson Podcasting here, understanding the times in which we live today. And we must understand those times, and we don't need to hear no more nonsense. You just heard that one right there. Go ahead. Try it. We have people kidnapped right now in America, kidnapped because they fought for your liberty. We sit there on the 4th of July and light our firecrackers off a few weeks ago and watch the pretty little colors in the sky and have to wake up in the morning, go to work, to be enslaved by the Federal Reserve Banking Cartel that our founders, that you just celebrated the day before, warned us about. The evil Federal Reserve Bank that's been funding every single, both sides of every single war, the money changers since the days of Christ. And I'm not going to get into a religious aspect or story here tonight. But we do have I have a short clip here that I do want to play here. And we're going to get into the secrets, people that really run things, the order. The new world order, the people that are going to be putting that microchip in your cell phone, up your ass, in your arm, in your forehead, wherever it may be, when they come to your door and snatch you up because, what can I do? It's against the law to carry a gun. Now, I got a speeding ticket 10 years ago. I can't have a gun. I can't buy ammunition. I got to register it. It's a good thing. We don't want criminals getting a hold of guns, right? It's a good thing to have a driver's license. We don't want people out there just driving around smashed into each other as they are already. It's a good thing. The law, you must understand the law. And as long as you keep complying with these people and you keep contracting with these people and you keep going in debt to these people and servitude with these people, we're never going to break free. We had corruption at the last election. Joe Biden is not the president of this corporation. Fact. We showed it. We demonstrated it on this podcast. We predicted it, what was going to happen. And now, look, they can't get this freaking stuff unveiled down there. Nobody wants to talk about it because we're too busy worried about, Tom Brady and the Dumb Bowl. And let's see, the baseball games and crap like that. Wake up. There are people guiding your life and you don't even know it. They own you. You're punks down. You're punks. They own you. How do you feel about that? They own you. They own your family too, and they will come take your kids. They'll take your wife. They'll take you too. And there's nothing you can do about it. You ain't free. What the hell are you celebrating the 4th of July for? Bunch of idiots.
Of perfectibilists. Its name soon changed to the Order of the Illuminati, or in German, the Illuminatenorden. The Order of the Enlightened. Its totem was the Owl of Minerva, or Athena, the ancient goddess of wisdom. Another symbol was a dot in a circle representing the all-seeing eye. Not the all-seeing eye of God, but of the mysterious unknown superiors to whom the order answered. The day, May 1st, marked an ancient fertility festival, and it was the extension of the preceding Walpurgis night, long associated with witchcraft and evil spirits. Weishaupt's tiny order had grand ambition. Their aim was to make men free and happy. But first, they had to make them good. Weishaupt envisioned nothing less than a world revolution that would result in a universal republic, a new world order. This necessitated destruction of Christianity and all other forms of religion. It also meant the annihilation of all governments. The new order would bring liberation from all social, moral, and religious restraint and embrace absolute equality and social fraternity. Religious superstition would be replaced with atheism for the masses and a kind of enlightened pantheism for the higher classes. A communism of goods in economics. The benevolent, enlightened elite, the Illuminati, would reign over this earthly paradise. As Weishaupt put it, the superiors of Illuminism are to be looked upon as the most perfect and the most enlightened of men. No doubts are to be entertained even of their infallibility. Down with the old masters. Say hello to the new masters. I bet that even if you've never taken notice of secret societies before, you've heard of the Illuminati. Well, over two centuries later, the term is embedded in popular culture as the generic name for a conspiratorial group bent on world domination. People pore over Super Bowl ads looking for hidden Illuminati symbols, and they're even parodied in Taco Bell commercials. The Bavarian Illuminati have spawned a cottage industry of conspiracy theory. In this lecture, we're going to explore the roots of Weishaupt's creation, believed, what it did, and its legacy. Perhaps its survival. The Illuminati were very much a creature of the 18th century Enlightenment, a time that, while it's mostly identified with the flowering of reason and science, also saw an explosion of interest in mysticism and the occult. The century that produced the French philosophers Diderot, Rousseau, and Voltaire also gave us the Italian forger and swindler Alessandro Cagliostro, the German hypnotist Friedrich Anton Mesmer, and the ageless alchemist, the Count of Saint-Germain. There was nothing new about Weishaupt's utopian vision. The term Illuminati has been used many times before. In the classical age, any initiate of a mystery cult was considered an Illuminatus. The same was true for a Christian who'd undergone baptism. In essence, what Weishaupt envisioned, the realization of heaven on earth, the immanentizing of the Eschaton. That notion goes back a long, long time. A 5th century Persian prophet named Mazdak imagined something much the same. Another version is the millennial paradise that many believe Christ will usher in on his return, or the perfect kingdom Jews anticipate with the Messiah. The difference is that Weishaupt's perfect kingdom would be instituted by humans themselves, at least the illuminated ones. Weishaupt's original contribution to this ancient theme was organization. As opposed to open proselytizing, mass movements, and direct confrontation, he advocated secrecy, or more to the point, conspiracy. The great strength of our order lies in its concealment, he decreed. Let it never appear in any place in its own name, but always by another name and another occupation. Besides Weishaupt's lack of originality, there was a question of whether he was the real master of its conspiracy or the tool of something bigger. Occult and Masonic scholar Manly P. Hall claimed that the Bavarian Illuminati were but a fragment of a larger movement. Hall viewed Weishaupt as a faithful servant of a larger cause, and that behind him moved the intricate machinery of the secret schools. Hall warned that the mystery schools never trust their full weight to any perishable institutions. The Bavarian Illuminati were a chapter in a story, not the whole story. Outwardly, Weishaupt and his brethren came nowhere near to achieving their lofty ambitions. The Bavarian Illuminati officially lasted barely a decade. The group is easy to dismiss as another of history's countless failed pipe dreams. But it's not as simple as that. The Illuminati were never rounded up or brought to account. Weishaupt lived to write, plot, and influence until his death in 1830 at the age of 82. Nor was the society's organization seriously disrupted. After all, it was invisible. Remember, Weishaupt decreed that the order's strength lay in concealment and that it would always appear under other names. How do you ban that? Like other secret societies in history, such as the Templars, Assassins, Cathars, and still more before them, there's every reason to suppose that the Illuminati carried on in one form or another. You could argue that being exposed was the best thing that ever happened to the Illuminati.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. Exposure spread the name of the order far and wide. People who might never have heard of it now did. And as many were intrigued as repulsed. Some even argue that Weishaupt himself blew orders cover for precisely that reason. In other words, it was part of his plan. So who was Adam Weishaupt? His full name was Johann Adam Josef Weishaupt. He was not Jewish, as some have claimed, nor was he a Jesuit priest or any kind of religious figure. He was the son of a lawyer who died young and left his son's upbringing in the hands of a godfather, Baron Johann von Ickstaff. And Ickstaff was the embodiment of an Enlightenment scholar. As lay director of the Jesuit-run University of Ingolstadt. He possessed a large library of forbidden and esoteric books to which young Adam had early and ready access. Doubtless, he learned a few things. At age 15, Adam entered Ingolstadt University and followed his late father in the study of law. He graduated in 1768, age 20, and right away assumed a professorship at the same school. He was a hometown boy made good. He seemed a typical member of the German intellectual establishment. Weishaupt's Jesuit instructors were noted for the rigorousness of their education. And like the Templars, this aroused envy and fear. In the Templars' case, it ended in accusations of heresy and blasphemy. The Jesuits nearly suffered the same fate. In 1773, Pope Clement XIV was persuaded to abolish the Jesuits. For Weishaupt, this meant opportunity. At Ingolstadt, he ascended to deacon of canon law. Weishaupt later expressed both disdain and admiration for his Jesuit mentors. His later position at the head of the Illuminati directly mimicked the autocratic power of the superior general. Arguably, the whole plan of the Illuminati, even its secretiveness, was taken straight from the Jesuit playbook. Thus, some suspected that Weishaupt remained a Jesuit at heart and secretly did their bidding. So what was Weishaupt's plan? First, he was obsessed with secrecy. He proclaimed that, of all the means I know to lead men, the most effectual is a concealed mystery. The hankering of the mind is irresistible. Noting that the games and abuses of secret societies were without end, he said, I wanted to make use of this human weakness for a real and worthy goal, the welfare of mankind. Lodges were knit together by the secrecy of their union, and Masonic lodges made excellent recruiting grounds. So in 1777, Weishaupt joined a Masonic lodge and demanded every Illuminatus do likewise. Once initiated, they were to attain positions of leadership and turn the lodges into vehicles for Illuminati propaganda and expansion. Weishaupt also saw great value in literary societies and libraries, the internet of their day. He commanded his order to establish or infiltrate them so we may turn the public mind which way we will. Illuminati, the true and genuine sense of Christian religion. O mortal man, is there nothing you cannot be made to believe? Weishaupt didn't forget the common man. He said, we must win the common people in every corner. And he said, this will be obtained chiefly by means of the schools and by open, hearty behavior, condescension, popularity and toleration of their prejudices, which we shall at leisure root out and dispel. Nor did he ignore women, writing, there is no means of influencing men so powerfully as by means of women. Women should therefore be our chief study. We should insinuate ourselves into their good opinion, give them hints of emancipation. This, he argued, will cause them to work for us with zeal, without knowing that they do so. Still, Weishaupt's perfect world would be a man's world. The head of every family will be the patriarch, the priest, and the unlettered lord of his family. If this sounds like more deception and manipulation, you're right. Weishaupt wouldn't argue. The ultimate goal was to make men free and happy, but first they had to be made good, and that required manipulation, trickery, even coercion. While the Illuminati would be the enlightened aristocracy of the New World Order, even they weren't equal or free. A recruit or novice was under the complete control of his recruiter or insinuator. Novices were told what to read, how to think, and they kept a daily account of their every thought and action. They also compiled detailed personal histories. They had no secrets from their insinuator and obeyed every command without question. Initiates received a special name, usually something classical. Weishaupt's was Spartacus. Curiously, many picked names connected to ancient mystery cults like Osiris, Pythagoras, or Attis. Once a novice received initiation into the next rank, the Brethren of Minerva, he had truly entered the Illuminati. There were also two higher ranks, Minor and Major Illuminatus, but Weishaupt decreed that no religionist, that is, anyone retaining a scrap of their own belief, could be admitted to them. Nor was there any room for patriotism. Absolute loyalty to the order and one's Illuminati superiors was the rule. The love of one's prince and of one's country are incompatible with the ultimate aims of the order. Ordinary morality was also forbidden. Calumnies, poisonings, assassinations, perjury, treasons, and rebellions were not crimes if done on the command of superiors and for the good of the order. It's that old saying, to the pure, all things are pure. At root, it was antinomianism, the rejection of all traditional rules and restrictions. The Illuminati later instituted more higher grades, unknown to the rank and file. There were Scotch Knights, a nod to the Masonic Scottish Rite, epopes, prefects, national directors, national prefects, and finally, the Grand Master, Adam Weishaupt himself. Illuminati propaganda insisted the order would free men from all religious prejudices, cultivate social virtues, and lead them to a speedy prospect of universal happiness in a state of liberty and moral equality, freed from subordination, rank, and riches. Weishaupt proclaimed, "My explanation is accurate and complete. My means are effectual and irresistible. Our secret association works in a way nothing can withstand, and man shall soon be free and happy." If any of this sounds familiar, it should. Everything about Weishaupt's Illuminism echoes the style, substance, and promise of later communism. Coincidence or inheritance? So how did Weishaupt's plan work in practice? Researchers like Terry Melanson, who maintains the conspiracy archives, identifies about 450 confirmed Illuminati. Other estimates range from 600 to 2,000. Regardless, a huge increase from the original five. Still, secret societies always emphasize quality over quantity. Known Illuminati came almost exclusively from the 18th century intelligentsia. Lawyers, academics, physicians, writers, and theologians abound. Among them was Johann von Goethe, author of Faust and one of the most celebrated names in Western literature. And Goethe was confidential advisor to another Illuminatus, Duke Karl August of Saxe-Weimar. The Illuminati roster includes an astounding number of barons and counts, as well as more important aristocrats, such as dukes and princes. Peasants, butchers, and chimney sweeps are absent. Jews, pagans, and ex-Jesuits were generally excluded, though exceptions were made. The great majority of Illuminati were Freemasons. Most were Germans. But there were brethren in Austria, Hungary, Switzerland, France, Denmark, and even Russia. there was an especially active cell in Naples, Italy. They played a guiding role in Naples' short-lived Parthenopean Republic in 1799. Weishaupt focused on recruiting what today we'd call influencers or opinion shapers. Illuminati brethren also mostly represented the have-somes of Enlightenment society as opposed to the have-nots and the have-everythings. They have some and they wanted more. They embodied both ambition and resentment. The same sort can be found in the driver's seat of almost every revolution. Marx, Lenin, and Castro would have felt quite at home. Despite the secrecy and conspiracy, Weishaupt's orders seemed to evaporate under scrutiny. But evaporated water doesn't cease to exist. It just goes somewhere else. Under pressure from the church, Karl Theodor of Bavaria banned the Illuminati in 1784, and again in 1785, yet again in 1787, and again in 1790. Obviously, suppression wasn't easy, nor thorough. Outside Bavaria, the order was mostly unscathed. Weishaupt slipped away to nearby Gotha, and he was protected by its Illuminatus prince, Haver von Zwack. One of Weishaupt's most key lieutenants was briefly jailed, but escaped to Paris in 1786. A year later, so did Johann Bode, whom Weishaupt made executive secretary of the order. The exposure of the Illuminati was at least partly the work of a disaffected brother, Baron Adolf von Knigge, who objected to Weishaupt's stiff-necked and authoritarian leadership. Von Knigge was also one who accused Weishaupt of secret Jesuitry. Earlier, I said that there were other Illuminati cults. Well, the term goes back to the mystery cults of the Roman Empire. Illuminism wasn't just a Western concept. In the 1500s, in what's now Afghanistan, a brotherhood appeared, the Roshaniya, or Illuminated Ones. They had elaborate, very secret initiatory rituals. The founder and illuminated master was a Sufi warrior mystic named Pir Bayezid Khan. He decried the tyranny and spiritual imperfections of secular rulers, including the powerful Mughal emperor. Pir Bayezid preached the overthrow of the existing order and the creation of a new world order based on an egalitarian, communistic society. Men and women would enjoy a paradise of perfect equality under the benign guidance of an enlightened elite.
All right, everybody, Joseph Gibson, podcasting here, understanding the times in which we live today. We just went over a little bit of the foundations of the secret cabal and of course, you know, you got to listen to the whole podcast. If you heard the whole thing, then you'd understand where we got to right there. You have to understand that what's really happening today and why what things are happening here. I'm going to go to the call boards here in about 1 minute here, to 2 minutes, Zach. But, you know, you have to understand the times in which we live today. People are guiding your life and you don't even know it. So I'll go to the call boards here in about 2 minutes, 2 minutes exactly. I'll be back in 1 minute.
We now are a nation known to start war. We feel compelled because of our insecurity that we have to go over and attack these countries to maintain our empire. We have over 700 bases. We are in 130 countries. And they're talking about bombing Iran. It is such a dramatic change from what is truly American and constitutional. I don't want to run the world. The Constitution doesn't give me the authority to run the world. We ought to mind our own business.
Everybody live, understanding the times which we live today. It's 8:38 p.m. on the East Coast. Phone call 657-383-0616. Press number 1 if you want to talk. And if that last one there didn't get you, that's the you know, Campaign for Liberty. You know, obviously people who know, who follow this podcast, I am a Constitution guy. Restore the original Constitution, restore our republic, and we'll get what we want in the end. That would be the motto. And real quick here before I get to the phone boards, just real quick, anybody want to talk? You know, it's been proven now. The truth is now out that Trump did win the election. How will America respond? How will we respond? It's fact. There's nothing about it. He did win. The proof is there. And I have documentation of that here. I can play also later on. So, you know, we knew that from the beginning anyway. So, all right, 657-330-616. She ran away. She ran away, you see? That's what they do. They attack and they run away. They punch, come out, and they run away. Those are your cowards of America. That's your that's the infection we have in this country today. That's the infection. Those are the infectious diseases. The people out there running around, the zombies, the Walmart shoppers running around that don't, that really, 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 we the people, the 3%, whatever it may be, need to really uproot and get the hell out of here one way or the other. And I prefer to do it lawfully. I prefer to do it lawfully. But you know what? There's going to come a time and a season when that can't happen anymore. And I don't know when. I'm not going to advocate when. But hopefully it doesn't. And I'm trying to wake people up, and that's the purpose of this show. Simple as that. Like I said, anybody's got a problem, hey, you want to come? Like I said, you know where I live. All of you do when you look up my name. Anytime, man. Anytime, any place, anywhere. No, I'm not going to drive someplace and meet you. I'm going to go about my business and do what I do. If you trespass on me or you try to attack me, you'll be dealt with all elements of the law, within the law. And that's it. And leave it at that, okay? So anybody else want to step to the plate here and want to attack Joe Gibson tonight? Oh my God, you're in prison, you convict, you felon, oh my God, you know what I mean, come on, man, and all that crap, you know, especially when people go to prison and they get out, they're so freaking stained with that. Listen, man, when people go to, you are sentenced to 5 years in prison, you do your 5 years, you get out, that's it, you're free, you got a clean slate with me, that's America, that's what America stands for, and if you don't like it, get the hell out of here. Simple as that. And I'll pay for your damn ticket. Anywhere you want to go in the world, go. Get out. Go ahead, 781. And I'll take you back. It's actually 832 back on there, but go ahead. 781.
Hey, Tom, what's up?
How you doing? What's on your mind?
I'm pretty good. Not much. Just saying, like, oh, I think that, like, art is a, I personally feel that, like, art, if done right, like, if you're really good at, like, drawing and such, like, art could be used as, like, a weapon kind of thing to, like, make people.
Well, it is used as a weapon. It is. And art, and look, the liberal arts and stuff like that, and art, you have to be careful because art, you know, look, now you're going to start getting into, like, a conversation on religion and stuff, because that's where it's going to lead to expression and whatnot, you know, and I don't want to do that. But, you know, if that's what you want to do to express yourself, and you're doing it in a positive way, and you're not hurting anyone else, you're not common law or, you know, whatnot, you know, common sense, then yeah, if you're good at it, then, yeah, if it brings peace to people and brings peace to your life, then have at it.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Well, why? Like, is somebody attacking you on your art?
Nah, it's, also, one of my Gab posts, I'm going to say just getting some attention on, I'm getting some attention on Gab. On Gab, I made a post of, it's just a list of good books, like, to read and whatnot. Most of them
direct people to that post, because people don't know what you're talking about. You said Gab, you put a post, nobody knows but you and me, or people that are, who know you on the call line here tonight.
Yeah. My Gab is True Patriot, that's two words, and look for the one that says great books to read. It was 2 days ago, and it says edited, edited on it. So, yeah.
Okay.
You'll find that post.
Go and there, and if anybody wants to comment on it, if anybody wants to comment, they're more than welcome to call in. But I got a bunch of callers on the line here tonight. But real quick, what are you? Well, are they attacking you because of it, or is it being censored? Why did you bring that up?
No, I'm getting a lot of positive attention. Like I've so far had likes, and one person reposted it, so that's good.
I will check it out. I definitely will. I promise I will. Thank you. I'll leave you on the phone. I won't mute your call because I don't like hanging up on people. Usually they run away, the caller did. But go ahead, private caller, and then 832. I'll get you back after this one. Go ahead, private caller.
You got me there?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Hey, okay, Joe. Look, as a matter of fact, you know, I'd like to inform people of something here. I'm 26 years active duty, Army National Guard, combat veteran Vietnam, tank commander, infantry squad leader, military police, National Guard, called up for the first Gulf War and Operation Iraqi Freedom. And I'm just telling you, if you serve one day in the reception center after you take the oath of enlistment and say some enemy of the United States came in and wounded you so you couldn't serve anymore and you get discharged, 24 hours, you are a veteran of the United States as long as you are not discharged under dishonorable conditions. That's the criteria.
Correct.
You take the oath of enlistment or the oath of office if your commission is an officer. You serve 24 hours on duty in any capacity, and you are discharged in any capacity other than dishonorable. You are, in fact, a veteran of the United States Armed Forces. Look it up on the veterans website. You don't have to believe me. So I'm just saying. Now, that isn't what I want to talk about, though, really. What I want to talk about is the fact that we now have information come out of Pennsylvania that Trump won Pennsylvania by 6-8% of the vote.
Hey, sorry, you're breaking up.
Army intelligence officer who just analyzed the data there, and it looks like it. Now, look, all this stuff's got to go to court, Joe. It's all got to go to court.
Yep.
It goes to court. Stuff under adversarial proceedings to determine what the truth is. But it looks like Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, I'm certain Wisconsin and Michigan are going to go for Trump. Is going to show that they actually went for Trump. The question will be then, what will be done about it? I'll admit that's up in the air. I don't really know. I got an idea.
But people want to attack each other. They want to fight over their silly little battles like 832 here that I'm going to get back on here in about as soon as you're done here. You know, but we don't want to concentrate on our country. We don't want to get better together. We unify together. We want to attack each other and put each other down. And you know what? And 30 years ago, you were about this, Sarge. And man, Sarge, you were a Vietnam vet. Man, they were spitting on you when you got off. You know, what was your rank, Sarge? I was an E3. I was an E3, by the way. Oh, yeah. Well, what was that? You know, you weren't. You know what I mean? That's what they want to do. You know? I mean, that's what they want to do. They want to attack and pick apart each other.
They just made up things about me. Didn't even know me. They just made shit up, man. Disheartening, and I'm thinking about the guys I knew died over there, and I was disheartened for a long time. I was so goddamn disgusted, you have no idea.
I know, man.
And look,
Vietnam vets
trying now, Joe, they're trying to take our country from us.
They're literally trying to
take away our traditions and our very liberty. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. You've got the White House acting in concert with big tech oligarchs to act as contractors to deny us free speech. They're acting as proxy contractors for the government to deny free speech under the guise.
Why aren't we yelling about that, Sarge? Why are we not yelling about that? Why isn't every single caller calling and talking about censorship, like on the internet and whatnot? And let me take this next caller here. Let me see if they're still here. I got to go back to the board here. They're still there. I'm going to take them. I'm going to put them on because I know you hang out with me, Sarge. So go ahead, 832. Go ahead. 352, you're live. No? You don't want to talk?
Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, Mel, how you doing, man? You know what, Mel, I could physically show you my discharge papers. I could physically show you everything. I could show you all the paperwork you want, and you know that.
I know you can.
You're probably less than 40 yards from me, and you know, and you've seen him, I think, already, too. So, but anyway.
I believe I have.
But yeah, I think I showed him to you on Zoom. But anyway, Mel, what do you think of all this, man? I'm a big fat lie, man.
I think Ron's just an idiot.
Like, hide in a doghouse.
Well, put it this way. I wish he would investigate me. I mean, I know I've had a lot of people that you know run background checks on me.
Yeah,
and
they do that.
You
they
know
try.
That I've been what they call a shadow warrior ever since Desert Storm, Desert Shield.
Ron, you can't go into stories with closed-minded idiots like that because they don't know. What they do is they talk about some YouTube guy that's on YouTube that goes around at that. Look, man, you know what I mean? I'm not even going to get into that. But this guy, because Ron doesn't know him. But the fact of the matter is, look, what I did 30 years ago should not even. What this is? This is a distraction. This is an action from the facts of what I'm trying to expose, which I touched a nerve today with the New World Order by exposing the Illuminati and bringing the three percenters. I'm going into all that. And we all know I'm running for public office. I think, Mel, aren't you my campaign manager?
Not yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there, exactly. Yeah, we got paperwork still to go through, I know. But I'm running for public office here in North Carolina, the fake Joe Gibson, right? That doesn't stand up for the Constitution. That doesn't stand up for the Republic, right?
I would really hate to have Ron try to chew into my ass. I mean, I'll sit there and tell you right now that being overseas and doing the job I did, I've killed men, women, and children, and I have eliminated men and women. Up close
yeah, but you don't need to go into that, though. You don't need to go into that. And you don't need to challenge Ron because he's just a heretic. That's all he is. You know, I mean, we don't need to turn this into the Stand Up for the Veterans show and go into all the things that people fought and died for the freedoms that they enjoy. So he can call into a podcast show and denigrate me or anyone else. We don't need to do that. You know what I mean? And any veteran out there would fully 100% agree with what I'm saying right now, because we're not going to take that. We're not going to turn this platform into that. And people out there who serve, they know I have the utmost love and respect for. And, Mel, you can verify right now on the phone line, weren't we at the county elections on Friday getting my name on the ballot?
Well, yeah,
you know?
we've been there several times.
Okay, then. So that's all we need to do. And you know what? And then when my name is on the ballot, they can say it's not really Joe Gibson, it's somebody else. I don't know. You know, the same thing to do to Donald Trump, same thing to do to everybody else. This is what the media is all about. This is the man, Ron, who threatened he was coming to stab me in the chest, beat me up, and kill me on May, I think it was May 27th. I had to delete the show because I was afraid he'd get arrested. I mean, because I'm such a snitch, you know. I had to pull the show off my freaking thing. I had to delete it, you know, because I was scared that they'd come after him because he's so stupid. He's calling into a podcast show threatening to kill somebody like a jackass that he is, just totally giving his organization a black eye. You know, I mean, he needs to shut his mouth.
If he's in another state, if he's in another state making terrorist threats,
oh God, he just violated so many laws. You know.
Yeah, I mean, the FBI and Homeland Security.
I know. And the thing of it is, I'm not going to testify against. I'm not going to see him. I don't want to see him in jail because I'm such a rat, you know. Because if I was an informant, don't you think I would have had him arrested already? Don't you think I would have made a phone call to my handlers that he claims I have? And I would have said, hey, this guy last night called in my podcast show, guys, you need to take care of him. And you don't think the FBI would have been at his door first thing in the morning? Come on, man, knock it off. What it is Ron got bitch slapped on my show, and what he needs to do is be a man and say, hey, Joe Gibson got the best of me. I tried to attack him, and you know, I'll come at him again next time with facts. But instead, now he wants to attack my past. Why not attack the present? Come at me today with what you got. Well, I mean, you know, I got lots of faults today even. You know,
well,
I mean,
well,
I'm not perfect.
First of all, Joe, if Ron and I ever met face-to-face, I think he'd just wet his pants.
Well, we may be going to Texas, I guess. It depends. I have to get off personal restrictions first before I can do that. I have some duties I have to take care of that I'm not going to get into. But I'd like to go down there, and I will show up with about 10 10, I don't know, I'm thinking of a couple guys I know from Coronado that I could bring with me, probably some old keepers, I don't know, you know, but that's not what I would be going for. I'd be going there to unite with people to find out what's going on in our country to see what we could do. But if a big mouth like Ron, hey, I wanted to do something stupid, then we can handle business, that's all. You know, I mean, but I don't want to, and you know what, I'm too old for that anyway, man. You know, I may bench press 450 pounds at the gym and whatnot, but you know what? I don't want to do all that crap because I don't want to go to jail. You know, I mean, because that's what's going to end up going. Because you don't think there's going to be undercover people there? I mean, you know, they're everywhere. They're watching. They're listening. And it's the first sign of violence, they're going to try to hem people up. You know, so don't be stupid. You know, don't be a jackass. You know, but Mel, I got another caller I got to get to here real quick. I got Sarge still on the line. And Sarge, I apologize for taking away from the platform of the show. I know you like to talk about, you know, issues that, you know, pertain to the Constitution and whatnot. I apologize for that. But that, this was Mel Sarge. He's my he's going to be my campaign manager and my treasurer for my campaign here in North Carolina, run for office. So I am running for public office here in North Carolina, but that's probably a lie, too, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, 509, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe. What's happening, Teddy?
What's up, Eddie? I know you were listening to that exchange. Ron ran away. I was going to unmute him and bring him back on, but he just wouldn't shut up.
All I'm going to say is, damn, so far, hell of a show. Moments where I'm like, damn! And then there's some where I'm like, you know, you got to love it.
Yeah.
But no, you know, that guy that, you know, Ron was talking about on YouTube, I think we can all agree on this with that guy. What he does is somewhat critical. You know, he goes around and he confronts people who put on the uniform, give themselves a whole chest full of medals, never done a damn thing in their lives, and actually, yeah, you know, discredits those who actually have done that. So I think we can all agree that we can get behind a gentleman who does that.
If that's the truth, I've seen the videos, Ron, Eddie, but I don't know the guy personally. I don't know his background. I don't know what he's about. And he knows, and I don't know. I think he claims he's a former Navy SEAL. I'm not sure, or a Green Beret. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know him personally, but he knows about disbanded teams and stuff. And he knows all about that stuff. And, you know, I don't run around parading it anyway. You don't hear me coming on this podcast, you know, advertising it and trying to stick my chest out and say, look what I was, guys. It just happened to slip one night on the podcast because of what happened when I was 18 years old. That's all.
It's,
you know,
all right. It's all right. But like I said, you know, I think, you know, if this guy is, you know, legit and what he does is legit, I think we can all support somebody like that.
He is. I know of him. He is legit. He has exposed people who have made false valid claims. He's the real deal. I mean, this guy Shipley is the real deal.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, I was just saying, because, you know, his name was mentioned, I figured, you know, I'd say something about the guy. Nothing against, you know, present company. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know the man, never talked to him, seen some of his work. I can support what he does. That's just me. But, you know, what with the election stuff that's going on, tell me this shit's not crazy, guys.
That's the focal point that I'm trying to get to, not what Joe Gibson did when he was 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, because nobody cares. You know what
I'll
I mean? And
back,
if you do care,
worry.
Then shame on you, because, man, get a life, man. But, yeah,
right.
Today,
I'll bring
with the election
back.
Stuff, the election stuff, yeah. Yeah, this is serious business.
Looks
what
like
are we going to do about
it?
America.
And they just took it, and they don't want us to even talk about it. They are going to not even allow us to bring it up on media, social media platforms. I mean,
well,
they
Sarge,
know the truth. They
I do
got to
disagree with you
thing.
In one regard. I do got to disagree with you in one regard. Before Ron came on, you said, you know, they're trying to, you know, steal our very liberties and our freedoms, and that you've never seen anything like this before. Sure, you may not have seen anything like this before, but where I disagree is they're not trying, they are. And,
well,
and I think they're doing a very good job of it so far. I think we can all agree.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
And that's the sad part, that, you know, these people have, you know, with COVID, and this is why COVID's not going to go away anytime soon. You're going to find there's going to be 1,000 different variants. And, hell, next thing we're going to have is zombies riding tidal waves, because, you know, the more they can keep you distracted, afraid, locked inside your homes, the easier it's going to be every election cycle to vote by paper ballot, to commit fraud across the board. Now, I'm not saying fraud doesn't happen in every election, because we all know it does, but nothing to the extent in which it had taken place last year. And yeah. I think that's the goal. And a lot of people, I've seen this on Gab, a lot of people are saying, you know, when everything finally comes out, that, you know, Biden's going to be removed, his executive orders are going to be undone. I just don't see that happening. I can't recall a single period in the last 30 years in American politics where in a presidential election had been overturned. Now, if anything, I do see the people who committed the fraud being charged, you know, indicted, found guilty, convicted. But I do not see Donald Trump being reinstalled as the 46th president of the United States. I just can't see that happening. Not to mention with the Biden administration's
control. They're calling for
control.
Decertification. They're calling for decertification, though, of it, though, you know. And so, you know, I'm going to post a link in the chat room right now. I think I'm still on the internet, actually, from 1991. But I'm going to post that in the chat room, though, because somebody's posting my Brooks case or whatever, but that was where I sued the state and the attorney general. But they're calling for recertification of the election, and, you know, this is, I mean, if they can do that and pull that off, well, imagine the repercussions of what will happen in America, you know, how the liberals, I mean, these people will react to that type of story or movement. I mean, Congress
would have
to do
something.
Joe, we got to understand here. We are living in unprecedented time. We have never seen anything like what is potentially shaping up. Now, the Constitution says, in Article 2, it says, the Congress may determine the time of choosing the electors and the day on which they shall give their votes, which day shall be the same throughout the United States. Now, that day is already passed. That's what the Constitution says. But here's the rub. Again, I keep emphasizing, never before have we seen anything quite like this. That's what's shaping up.
Agreed.
Fraud
vitiates
everything. When you got a fraud, all I know of in judicial proceedings, and even in Supreme Court decisions, when you have a fraud, it throws everything else out in order to correct the fraud. Now, that's the tension between these two legal principles. Which one is going to prevail?
I can agree with that, but I think the Supreme Court
is going to be the same
day. I think the Supreme Court is going to fail us. I think the Supreme Court is going to fail us. And I think the Republican Congress is going to fail us like they did when it came to voting on the legitimacy of the election without anything. Even Clarence Thomas, of all people, said the Supreme Court missed a prime opportunity to do its job and to restore faith and integrity in our elections. And we refused to touch the case. So, that the Supreme Court does not by no means have a track record of doing what's right. And I think this is what it's going to come down to. Let's say, you know, this election, you know, gets redone. Well, it's got to go to the Supreme Court.
Joe, I gave you yesterday a legal and constitutional means by which it could be done, remember?
Right.
Yeah.
I told Joe the other day how it could be done. It would involve a degree of cooperation with the Democrats and massive political pressure from a pissed-off electorate who realizes beyond a reasonable doubt that the election was stolen. Both would have to be accomplished. But it could be done. It's not inconceivable because, remember, in October of 1973, we had two executive branch resignations, which makes my scenario possible, if not likely.
Now, Joe, I got a question for you. You know, do you think if this does get overturned, do you think that we can put faith in the United States military to remove Biden forcefully if necessary, considering
well, we
how
can,
the military
but,
is
but,
now?
20% of the military, 30%. This is back when I was in the Restore America plan, which I've done shows upon also, where I've been in meetings with people like Ron Paul. I don't know if you know who Ron, remember who Ron Paul was. I'm sure you do. You're very educated. He was a congressman. Yeah, I was in meetings with him, with Dale Anderson from Florida. Some people on the phone line here tonight know who Dale is. He was a friend of mine. He worked for me. We went down. I brought a witness with me. We went down there to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We were in the meeting there, and they. This is back in 08. 2009, 2010, where we put together it was the Restore America plan, and it was the Guardians of the Free Republic, where, and I'm sure some of you may even remember that on the phone line, where they put together 50 grand juries. Okay, does your grand juries, I've had the, as a matter of fact, I've had the governor on my show, governor of the Free State of Colorado, James Carpenter. We were there in the meetings. We had hot meetings with the military, with sure. people from the military, the FBI, all different organizations, factions of the government. And right. This is when Obama thing was going around, birth certificate, illegitimate, this and that. They're ushering in the New World Order. We got to stop it. The Oath Keepers right. were there, blah, blah, blah. And the question came was this. If we put this on the 6 o'clock news tonight and we say, guys, right. this is what's going on. We're replacing Obama with such and such, or, you know, today we would do it with Trump. But right. how will the American people react? What will be the vibe, or what will the news media, what will the Rothschilds, what will be the Deutsche Bank, what will be the IMF, the World Bank, what will happen around the world, and the military bases around the world also, because we couldn't be able to get the word out quick enough because, you know, we got
leaks. They'll classify everyone as domestic terrorists.
You know what I mean? Yeah. What would they do? What would they do to us, or what happened? You know, and we said we got it in hand.
They would call us all domestic terrorists, traitors, and then the United States federal government would impose a curfew, and then they would start with illegal arrests, and thus you have your police state. The media, of course, you know, the media.
Well, they bring in the UN, too. The UN would come in. Yeah, the UN would come in.
The UN would. I mean, they're already in Canada right now, if people don't know.
The UN investigate racism, hasn't he?
Right.
Yeah, the UN's UN's already here.
Their convoys are already rolling.
What would the military do? Listen, the military has to obey the will of the people. Now, I've said this a million times on this podcast show, and people have laughed at me and they mocked me. But go to the republicofTheUnitedStates.org, and the documents are there, signed, stamped, with proof, there, of the Northwest Ordinance, all the documentation there. The document is there for us to take back our government lawfully,
right?
But we need 5,000 people. We need 5,000 people in each state. We'd have to do a constitutional type of thing where
sure.
I can't go. I can't say it word for word right now. Sorry, you're probably more versed in the Constitution than I am.
You're talking about a constitutional convention, an Article 5 convention.
I wish I had the governor. I wish I could call him right now. I hate to do that, man. But he explained it so many times on my show.
Article 5 convention.
Now, see, this is content.
You need so many people, Sarge. You know, you have
this
to work the jure government, not the de facto. Remember, the de facto is the corporation, and they have a separate jurisdiction than us right now. You know,
sure.
And remember, everything is done by coercion of contract. So you agree to things, and that's how they work, and that's how the world works, and that's how business works. And the thing of it is that if we were to have that many people say, this is what we want, and we break away, and we have a separate entity now, how do we sustain ourselves monetarily? If we
right,
get all these
the
people
question.
On our side, you know what I mean? You can't
boy,
do it because we don't have principles.
You know, boy, you're really jumping a field here. I think we got to deal, first of all, with the fact that this election, the most important single elective office we have in this country, was stolen out from under us. I'm certain of that.
It has not been proven yet.
It's got to go to a court, unless, of course, you just want to go straight to a revolution. We don't need
no
proof
of that. What kind of court,
Sarge? What kind of court? You're talking about convincing the American people so they take lawful measures to correct it. We've got to go to court and prove it. It hasn't been proven yet, but I'm certain of it. I don't have any doubt.
You're interrupting me, Sarge. What court? What court are we going to take it to? You're going to take it to a corporation de facto statue-ran court that you can't get justice that way?
You know what Quo Warranto is?
No.
Quo Warranto is where you file a petition in a federal court in D.C. and you ask authority does an individual hold office. And you attempt to get the court to entertain the motion to show the authority by which Joe Biden claims to be president of the United States. And if
you
can show evidence that he doesn't have the proper authority by getting an insufficient amount of electors through fraud, that can start the procedure. That's one way. Not the only way, but it's one way.
That's my point, though. You're not going to get that to happen because let's face reality here for a second. Joe Biden is the most protected, sheltered, covered for person in American politics, maybe history.
Agreed.
There's
agreed.
No fucking way.
Agreed.
There's
agree.
No way.
I agree.
Yeah.
But here's
so
the
how are you going to get a court to entertain
that? What we need to do is start talking about our options as a people. We got several options now. We could talk about legal, constitutional, and lawful means.
I'm going to give you guys something in a minute.
Or if you think that's utterly inadequate and cannot be accomplished, there's always civil war and or armed revolution. Now I would like
to think
that would be the absolute last resort. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to fire up the show a little bit.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's
I'm just
fine.
Saying, if you want to look at every option we have, there are a number of options we got.
I'm standing here with a shit-eating grin on my face because this is fire right here. This is how you fire up a fucking show.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say. We've got options. Let's not pretend we don't. The question is, do we want to exercise any or all of them? That's the question.
Well,
and we better start thinking about them now because it looks like the evidence is going to come out that our very liberty and birthright was taken from us. By people who want to destroy this country. It would be different if we had a Democratic Party that was even remotely like the Democratic Party of John F. Kennedy in 1960. Then at least we wouldn't have to worry about the country being absolutely destroyed. But this Democratic Party is entirely different.
What's that old saying?
It's a new species of American political party.
What's that old saying? This isn't the Democratic Party of your grandfather?
That was pretty bad, but I'm not talking. We're looking at something now that's like the Borg.
Well,
this damn Democrat was like the Borg in Star Trek.
I'm sorry, Joe. I'm not trying to hijack your show. I'm just saying, you know, it's crazy because, you know, the Democratic Party that we have today, you know, they mask themselves as an American political party, but they're anything but. All their actions, everything they vote on, everything that they propose as legislation, it's just not going to happen.
Well, this was what happened. This is what they proposed back then, and they announced it on the radio and whatnot. And they had 250,000 people listening at the time. It's only about 6 minutes long. I got the other one. I think I played it for you already once, Sarge. I don't know if this is the right part, but they go into this. This is the how they were restoring America du jour and getting rid of the Federal Reserve and absorbing the de facto with the du jour form. Because if you look it up lawfully and the documents of the law, and you go back to the Civil War and the Reconstruction Act, and go back to 1933 and stuff like that, you understand how this has happened, you'll understand really what happened. But this guy explains it pretty much, I would say, the best, but I'm going to try. Hopefully he does here in this part. I don't know if this is the part or not, but I'm going to try to play it right now.
Friends of the free republics, if you have the courage to reclaim the de jure institutions of your government as a juror on the de jure grand juries, then I invite you to send us an email and mark in the subject line, wish to join, a dash, and then put in the name of the republic in which you will be representing. If you would like to be a state or regional coordinator who will handle the final organization of the de jure grand juries, or you believe you can assemble a substantial number of people in furtherance of the goals that I've outlined here tonight, then please mark the subject line coordinator, add a dash, and put the name of the republic. And finally, Before I bring my fellow guardian elders to the program, I would like to address any other groups or assemblies or similar undertakings throughout the land. If you're engaged in assembling or a similar process, but you don't quite know the way to the finish line, I invite you to come over and join with us, as I think you will find that the Restore America plan is the last best hope to re-inhabit the Republic now, not later, in the most logical way, with the least risk of conflict and unnecessary controversy. Now, mind you, even if the military were to fail to fulfill their offer to us, the mere act of assembling with true and proper authority on the land is a victory in and of itself, as we will then have the authority to engage the public pretenders on a playing field where they simply cannot stand. A field where they have no borrowed energy with which to commit further acts of evil, and where the facade of legitimacy has been fatally punctured. It's so thoroughly penetrated that many of them will shrink away from confrontation with the knowledge that the liabilities of attempting to subjugate the jure land-based authority by private, corporate, de facto actors is far too perilous to accept. You know, folks, lawyers, many lawyers, are well aware that they have no authority on the land and certainly no standing to disobey the lawful orders of the sovereign people. Now, for those of you who doubt that when push comes to shove, the officers of the United States Federal Corporation, especially the higher levels of the judiciary, do not understand their limitations, I'm going to bring forth our first guest. He's never been on the program before. He is a member of what we're calling the Guardian Elders, who authored this procedure and will be taking responsibility for it. But 2 years ago, I told you a story about this man, and then Larry Becraft spent a year ridiculing that he didn't exist and that his story, if he did exist, was untrue. I told you a story, I think it was January 2 years ago, of a fellow who got placed on the ground and shackled, brought in on a Friday into a federal court. They said they'd hold him till Monday, and he told the marshals, if you do, I'll issue a warrant for your arrest. I asked him how, and he said, I'll issue the warrant, and I'll have three county notaries sign off on it. So you'd better take me to the magistrate tonight. And they did. And the magistrate entered court and said, sir, what's your name? And he said, I am who I say I am. And he said, I asked you again, what's your name? And he said, well, I'm the guy who's holding a warrant for the arrest of. And he mentioned the name of a judge he had completed an administrative process on. Lo and behold, it was that judge whose face turned bright red and left the courtroom and never came back. And 20 minutes later, the marshals were joking, where'd he go? Well, I think he's in the back throwing up. This friend of mine signed an appearance bond because he didn't want his family to worry, and he knew he could take care of it later, but he was a little tardy in taking care of it. And so they sent the 12-member SWAT team. They hauled him in. And I am proud to be introducing to you a man who stood there by himself while the so-called judge told him he had maybe 20 other charges in a sealed indictment. He was going to spend many years in prison. And when he asked my friend his name, my friend said, by what authority?
All right, everybody. All right, let me turn that off. But that was the process. That was the beginning of the process of back then of when this all started and the Restore America plan. And they were arresting judges. I mean, these people were, it's all verifiable and to look up. But the fact of the matter is that today we have people, we have the people today that are unaware of their lawful duty as a citizen of America today, of the Republic today.
Right.
You hear it yourself, Eddie, the Sarge. Democracy,
yeah.
Democracy. We're a democracy. No, we are.
No, we're not.
It just kills me. It kills me
we're
when someone
republic.
Says that, Eddie. Yeah.
I know. I agree.
We are a republic. We were founded as a democratic republic. Even I know that. And it's amazing, but these are the talking points that you hear, you know, daily, just echoed. You know, the democratic Marxist talking points that they just pound into people's heads.
Yeah, I like how you said
and
that. Democratic Marxist points. Yeah, brainwashing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know? And I think we can all agree is one of the biggest problems, like I said on your previous show, you know, a lot of these people, you know, they misconstrued the actual politics and methods that are being used to achieve their goals with fascism, and it's anything but fascism. It's Bolshevik Marxism.
Bolsheviks. This enemy, this communism is just this communist. And I played that in the beginning of this podcast here tonight. This communist.
I know, Eddie. Just think for a minute. We got these Bolshevik Texas Democrat Texas representatives who just fled to Washington D.C. to avoid a quorum, so Texas could enact election integrity laws. If it was a democracy, these damn fools would realize all they got to do is take a vote with the people who are left. It's not a democracy.
Look, I'm winding down on time, guys.
The quite clear. We have a representative republic that has rules that have democratic elements in it. It ain't a democracy, or these fools who left Texas would be completely out of business.
Sarge, I want to give Eddie and you both closing thoughts. I got a couple other callers. You're going to have to wait. I don't know if I can get to you or not, but I want to give you guys two. But just listen to 4 minutes of this, and then you guys give your closing thoughts, because they're going to cut me off, you know, with time. I got about 17 minutes left, and I got 4 minutes of this, and then hopefully I can get to you a couple other callers. But this is, you know, again, the same thing. This is back in 2008. I was a part of this. I was going to the meetings, and we had the people on the street, on the ground, doing what we were supposed to be doing. I remember on MySpace, putting up the things. Remember MySpace, guys, you know, and, you know what I mean? So, you know, we're all doing this. But the thing of it is, though, reflect back. But when you what you were doing back in that time period, we were all fighting like we are today, individual battles, attacking each other instead of looking at the prize. And the now the prize, look, the election, we're talking about that election thing, man, and we can't have constitutional elections. Man, our republic is gone, and we are usurped and serfs into this system. And, man, what are they going to do? What are you going to do, Eddie Sarge? When they knock on your door and they say, you got your COVID, well, here's your card, you're going to take it, and you got to take your, you know, whatever it may be, what are you going to do? You're going to fight your family. I mean, why put your family in that position? Why not? Let's come together now and stop this, you know? So let me just play this real quick, and I'll give you guys closing thoughts.
Not the kind of freedom that sends you to prison for refusing to enter the bar. No, sir. Our colleagues have been willing to stand, fight for, and die for human freedom. Not the kind of freedom that classifies its own people as legal fiction entities in their books and records, distinct and apart from the living man and mocking his or her name. Not the kind of freedom that classifies you as terrorists under Section 802 of the Patriot Act by reclassifying you as a special class of legal fiction subject known as a U.S. person. Not the kind of freedom that forces you to confess to being a United States person simply to be permitted to place your money in safekeeping at a bank. Not the kind of freedom that has incarcerated millions of people and a greater percentage of the population than any nation on earth. Not the kind of freedom that supports banking institutions whose own books demonstrate that you are the source of the funds you purportedly borrow from them. When you sign the promissory note, they deposit it on their books as an asset. They loan you back their own funds. They understand their own regulation state. They are not permitted to loan funds from their deposits, nor loan their own credit. And then they hide the journals, and the judges are complicit in not enforcing them or forcing them to bring forth those journals into court. Not the freedom that sends your tax dollars to foreign money predators to fund your own enslavement. Not the kind of freedom that condemns you to the secret life of being a tenant on your own land according to your own deed, and that sends elderly, blind people, infirm people, helpless people to jail at the request of the banking institutions of this country. No, my friends, not the kind of freedom that secretly replaced Law with Equity in 1933 without a whimper federal judges. Not the kind of freedom that requires state permission to be married in the form of a marriage license, state permission to travel in the form of a driver's license, state permission to conduct business, your occupation, bring food and money home to your family by requiring you to sign up as a legal fiction subject class citizen on a business license subject to their rules and regulations. Clearly, the United States Federal Corporation has not changed its ways since my offer of 3 or 4 years earlier. And through its own actions, through its own arrogance, and through its own ignorance of its own history, they have cast the die. The sovereign people are back.
All right, okay. He gets into it, you know, with the thing is that, look, the United States Corporation, you know, the thing of it is that it was founded upon what? The Bill of Rights, Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Throughout the years, we've had our battles back and forth with evil. You go through the presidents, Andrew Jackson, did a documentary, Stars. You remember on that, where he battled no bank, and he paid off the debt, and they tried to kill him. They tried to assassinate him, remember? And
right.
All presidents that have stood against this throughout the years have been assassinated. John F. Kennedy was the last one that was murdered. Ronald Reagan, they put one in his chest because he was investigating where the gold was in Fort Knox with the Grace Commission, if you remember, Sarge, or anybody else that remembers out there. And
I remember that.
And Hinckley. Yeah.
I remember.
So, you know, and the thing of it is that, you know, and now we got Trump in there. Now, Trump, you may love him or hate him or whatnot. He may be a puppet. He may have maybe surrounded himself with Jewish people, whatnot, and they sold him out, and that's what they did. His own family
sold him
out.
He's better than Biden.
And he doesn't know it. You know, yeah. You know, and the thing of it is that now we know the election. They've been caught, and they did it all through this vaccination thing or this flu pandemic, this ace card they had in their hand to control mm-hmm. us, and we all comply fear of getting sick and dying. And we still do today. And what's the next thing they're going to do? What are they going to perpetuate on us to scare us into believing their system is the right way? And look, I'm not saying there's a boogeyman under your bed tonight that you got to go around looking and go look underneath a rock for a Freemason or whatnot, you know, and look into your next door neighbor. I wonder if he's a Freemason or Illuminati. Look, all I'm saying is, look, you guys are that are listening or on the call line here tonight are obviously educated, you're smart, you can see things and what's going on, and you know something ain't right. It's not right. What can we do to fix it together? What can we do? And no, I know you guys can't get out there individually and change the world or change things that are happening, but you know what? You're doing your part to try to fix things. So I'm reflecting on really the listeners out there or anyone on this small podcast show or the platform you guys are on later on or whatnot to talk about stuff like this, man. Let them stop controlling us. You know, admit to the problem, recognize the problem, analyze the problem, eliminate the problem. And I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying that the law is still there for you to grab and hold and use. And we can do it with our next-door neighbors, our community. Remember, if you remember in the beginning there, formulate your assemblies. And that's what we were doing. Start locally. And I believe Adam came on this show a couple months ago and said the same thing. He said it so well. Start locally. You know, but Eddie... or Sarge, or Eddie, you go first. I mean, what do you think? I mean, man, I know it's a lot to absorb, but I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I am. You know, it was a powerful show. We got a little bit of controversy there. Hopefully the listeners that download it on the drive to work tomorrow morning don't, you know, turn it off and they listen to the end of this because I believe that the ending is the best part. So go ahead.
That's where the juicy stuff is. I will say this, you know, for Republicans, conservatives, patriots, wherever you are, whoever you are, I'm a Nazi. I'm a national socialist. I make no bones about it. I don't hide my politics. More importantly, I don't hide who I am, what I am, and where I am, and what I look like. All you got to do is look me up. I will say this. I'm willing to stand and fight for you and your rights and your freedoms and your country. Are you man enough to do the same with me? You know what they say, when you stare into the abyss, be careful. Sometimes the abyss stares back, and that's what's coming. Brace yourselves, prepare, arm up, psych up, prep up,
act locally, think nationally.
I like that locally and nationally. I like that. That is a catchy phrase, actually. And that's what people barter on today, is motivation through what they hear and what they see and actions. And that's why it's so important, Eddie, that you yourself and your organization, I'm not taking away from the guy that leads your organization, but I'm saying that you guys out there, you guys got a good platform. And, man, we got to come together here. I mean, we can't be. Look, it's okay to talk about those stories, you know, that affect us as individuals, and it hurts individuals as individuals. But nationally is what's important, is that we got to look at our country and we got to come together, and to just denigrate and alienate individuals based upon anything that, you know, the voices out there, or silence a voice that's so important, is not the right way to go.
That's,
you know,
right.
I mean, it really is.
It's terrible. And this has been happening, you know, since the 90s, and they're only stepping up their operations. And like I said, I'm willing to fight for conservatives and Republicans, but ultimately and fundamentally it just comes down to, are you willing to stand and fight with me? Because here's the thing, you know, if we don't come together, we are beyond fucked. It's going to be us being loaded on cattle carts and never seen from again. I can guarantee it.
Right. Yeah. Being done today, Eddie.
They have D.C. They already took the first busload of them after January 6th. And they still got them locked up in a dungeon.
Yep. But these are Stalin tactics that Stalin used against political descendants on his murderous rise to power.
That's it.
Right.
Exactly. Look, I've been prepping ever since Obama got elected. I could see the handwriting on the wall when they elected him and then allowed him to take the office a second time, knowing he wasn't even an Article II eligible natural born citizen. There wasn't anything prior to this stolen election that pissed me off more. Look, I don't care who you are in this country. I don't care who you are. I think all of us at our core, at least enough of us to matter, want to live in a country with fundamental liberties. The fundamental liberties that are outlined in the Declaration and reinforced by the Constitution. And every single one of them is in grave jeopardy from this bunch that's running this government right now. Who in their right mind would ever have imagined that a presidential administration would request an international entity to come into this country to investigate an alleged domestic problem, for God's sake? But we're looking at it right now, and it's almost gone without remarking. It is just amazing what we've become willing to accept. We've accepted a fascist regime of COVID-style control, almost without significant opposition. Everywhere you look, we're looking at all the things that, look, I'm willing to come to common cause with anyone to stop this and roll this back. Because it's got to be, or this country is over. It'll be the United States in name only. In name only. It won't mean a dime. There won't be a dime's bit of difference between the United States, Cuba, South Africa, or any other damn place that nobody else wants to live in.
That's right. I'm willing to stand and fight for anybody.
I know that. And we disagree on a lot of fundamental
principles. And this election, by the way, is the biggest single issue of them all. We've got to get this matter into court or do some kind of official adjudication with adversarial proceedings to determine what the truth is and to establish it to the American people beyond a reasonable doubt one way or the other.
Well, I just want to say something real quick. I'm going to try to put together the next show or the next coming shows. I'm going to try to get the Republic back on here, the leadership from the Republic that are out there, and maybe some people that were from that back in the day and that time that are trying. But they cloud. But the problem is with them, and I'm going to criticize them, is they cloud the issues with preaching too much, preaching to the choir. People don't want to hear it. They want to see results. You know, you're feeding tidbits of information. I remember I was out there last year, and I remember, guys. Now, I hold true to this. Next month, August, is going to be a very, very transitional month here in America, in September, going into September. And I think something big is going to happen. I've been heard martial law. I've heard a lot of things going on. I don't know that you hear the media and right now hyping up the COVID stuff. You know, you hear them hyping it up again. So we don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to lock us down this winter and they're finally going to clamp down because they don't want to come to that midterms election? Because the midterm elections, man, everybody's got to get out there. I'm out there. I'm doing it. Everybody's got to get out there. And, Eddie, you too, you know, you say, yeah, you're a national socialist and whatnot. Yeah, but, man, then get somebody out there to run for office, man. Do something. You know what I mean? Get somebody out there so we can freaking bring voices to the table. You know, that can say, hey, we are not going to allow their new world order, their agenda. We're not going to allow the United States go into the abyss that you were talking about, Eddie. You know, I mean,
it's funny you should say that because I do know somebody who I talked to last night who is strongly considering running for local office in a state that I'm not going to name or mention. And he's thinking about running as an open national socialist because, obviously the Republicans are failing. Yeah. Democrats have failed. There needs to be an alternative.
If he does, he's got to come on a platform then and announce it on internet radio and then contact me and I'll get some local media out to in that area. We'll talk privately about that. And I'll get the attention, but he's going to have iron thick skin. You know, and be a very good talker. And he's going to have to spin things because, you know, these Jesuits and Jews out there, they're going to freaking attack and attack, and they know how to do it. And that's what pisses me off about what happened earlier. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. We could really unite and come together, you know, and use that energy that we have for something so much better than attacking each other. And because
right.
You know,
well, I see it like this, Joe. We need to band together to fight for the final victory, and then once it's said and done, we can go back to killing each other and do what we got to do after that.
We won't have to.
I'm telling you right now, it's rules for radicals. Saul Alinsky laid out the blueprint for these people, and they're using it against us.
Yeah, they are.
And that's why I play The Greatest Story Never Told as a documentary on the podcast, because I believe we're in that transition time right now. And I play the documentaries of George Washington. And what happened, Sarge, on that podcast? Someone attacked George Washington. A female called in and started attacking George Washington, remember? And then what did I do right after that? And what did I do right after that?
I had an actual historical event to make George Washington look like he was an incompetent boob.
Sure.
Yeah,
I believe that.
What did I do, Sarge? But what did I do? I had Black Lives Matter, a spokeswoman from Black Lives Matter, Wilmington, North Carolina.
I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah. Well, you were on that podcast. You left. You left, and you could think I was going to get someone. And I got her in. But she came on here, and you know what? She kind of flipped the script because Black Lives Matter really isn't about a lot of what the media out there is depicting them to be. Now, I know and she even openly admitted there's a lot of chapters out there that are not what they stand for and what they believe in. But she was like, I believe in the Constitution. I believe everyone individual. She even supported you guys, I think. You know, I mean,
here's a brief problem with that. When somebody who is a Black Lives Matter representative says that we've got chapters out there that aren't holding true, well, as anybody knows, when you have a chapter, well, what happens? The national office has to do what? Reel that chapter back
in.
Well,
you lack leadership,
brother.
Failure
to do so is silent endorsement.
They lack leadership, though. But don't we all?
Sure.
Don't we all, though? Thankfully, you guys have great leadership on your platform, but the problem is the minions underneath aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know?
Well, George Orwell,
you know, and I'm not trying to insult anybody.
No, George Orwell,
you got loose cannons that are doing damage, you know?
Right. George Orwell said, beware the useful idiot.
Yeah. You know, and I'm not even singling out the guy that called into this podcast here tonight. I'm just saying that you've got people out there that are not taking advantage. Yeah, in general. Thank you. In general. And that's what I was trying to say. But, man, it was a great powerful podcast here tonight, man. Download it. Put it in the archive. Because guess what? If it does go into the abyss like Eddie was saying, we're in trouble.
It's going to be right here. You're going to hear it here.
Yeah. You're not going to see it on Fox News. You know? You're not going to see it on Tucker. Well, you know.
The questions regarding this election must be dealt with completely.
And that's the next show, Sarge. We're going to attack the news media outlets in those districts. We're going to attack them, and I'm going to do that on the show. I'm going to call them live on the show. I'm going to get some numbers. Even though I got to pre-record some of this stuff. So, hey, man, God bless the Republic. God bless you guys, and be safe out there, man. Keep up the good fight. Thanks for calling in.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.